This is Atah Durakan returning with the Decatur Herald in Review for Tuesday, November 10th, 2020. And we continue now on page A5, obituaries. Bloomington, Danielle, Danny, Christina, Cater, 30, of Bloomington, Illinois, formerly of Mount Zion, passed away on Tuesday, November 3rd, at Carl Broman Medical Center in Normal due to complications from COVID-19. She was born December 30th, 1989 in Decatur. Due to COVID-19 restrictions, a private family service will be held on November 21st at Calvert and Metzler Memorial Home, Bloomington. A celebration of life will be planned at a future date. Burial will be at Evergreen Cemetery, Bloomington. Memorials may be made to the School for Therapeutic and Recreational Writing, STAR, of Decatur. The family wishes to express their heartfelt thanks to the emergency, ICU, and surgical staff at Carl Broman Medical Center for their care and concern. Please view the obituary and share your condolences and memories online at calvertmemorial.com. White House, Tennessee. Edith R. Kaiser, 97, of White House, Tennessee, formerly of Decatur, Illinois, and Zolfo Springs, Florida, passed away Saturday, October 31st. She was born August 30th, 1923. No public services are being planned at this time due to gathering restrictions. The family is planning on a celebration of life memorial to be held at a later date in Zolfo Springs, where Edith and Bill spent many happy years. A special thank you to grandson Donald, who became Edith's caretaker, roommate, card partner, and executive chef upon her move to Tennessee after Bill's passing. Forsyth. Ida E. Roberts, 87, Forsyth, passed away on Friday, November 6th. Visitation will be from 5 to 7 p.m. on Wednesday, November 11th at Forsyth Baptist Church. Funeral services will be held at 1 p.m. on Friday, November 13th at Hahn Grober Funeral Home in Oxford, Indiana, with a visitation 1 hour prior to the service. Ida will be laid to rest in Boswell Cemetery, Boswell, Indiana. Memorial contributions may be directed to Forsyth Baptist Church. Ida was born January 13, 1933. Messages of condolence may be sent to the family at dawson-wyckoff.com. Decatur. Mary A. Haney, 95, of Decatur, formerly of Macomb, passed away Friday, November 6th at Decatur Memorial Hospital with her loving family by her side. Mary was born September 11th, 1925. The family wishes to express sincere appreciation and love to all Primrose Retirement Community staff and residents. Your care and friendships brought joy to the last 3.5 years of our sweet Aunt Mary's life. Massive Christian burial to celebrate the life of Mary Haney will be a private family liturgy. Entombment will be in Star of Hope Mausoleum in Graceland Cemetery. Memorials may be directed to Our Lady of Lourdes Church, School, or to the donor's choice. The family of Mary Haney is being served by Graceland Fairlawn Funeral Home, 2091 North Oakland Avenue, Decatur. Online obituary condolences memories at graceland-fairlawn.com. Decatur, Francis J. Van Blaricom, 88, of Decatur, passed away at 2:12 p.m. Sunday, November 8th, in Randall Residence, Decatur. She was born July 4th, 1932. A graveside service to celebrate Francis's life will be held at 11 a.m. Thursday, November 12th, in North Fork Cemetery, Decatur. Dawson and Wyckoff Funeral Home, Mount Zion, is assisting the family with services. Memorials may be made to the donor's choice. Messages of condolence may be sent to the family at dawson-wyckoff.com. The family wishes to extend their sincere gratitude to the staff of Randall Residence and to Alara Hospice for their care and compassion shown to Francis and the family. Decatur, Joseph Joe Raymond Becker, 83, of Decatur, passed away on Thursday, November 5th, 2020, at Decatur Memorial Hospital. He was born September 17th, 1937. Joe was a member of St. Thomas the Apostle Catholic Church, where a mass of Christian burial will be held at 11 a.m. on Friday, November 13th. Celebrant will be Father Michael Friedel, assisted by Deacon Kevin Richardson. Interment will follow at Graceland Cemetery. Visitation will take place at the church immediately preceding his service from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be directed in his name to St. Thomas the Apostle Catholic Church, 2160 North Edward Street, Decatur, 62526, or the charity of your choice. Arrangements are under the direction of Graceland Fairlawn Funeral Home. Decatur, Russell C. Buchanan, 80, of Decatur, passed away November 7th, 2020, at Decatur Memorial Hospital. Russell was born September 17th, 1940. He proudly served in the United States Navy from 1956 to 1962. He was an Eagle Scout with Troop 25. Visitation services to celebrate the life of Russell Buchanan will be from 5 to 7 p.m. Thursday, November 12th. At Graceland Fairlawn Funeral Home. Private family graveside services will be held at a later date in Graceland Cemetery. Memorials may be directed to Alzheimer's Association, 225 North Michigan Avenue, Floor 17, Chicago, Illinois, 60601. The family of Russell Buchanan is being served by Graceland Fairlawn Funeral Home, 2091 North Oakland Avenue, Decatur. Obituary, condolences, and memories at graceland-fairlawn.com. Decatur. Bonnie I. Bowlby, 89, of Decatur, passed away on Sunday, November 8th, with her loving family by her side. She was born February 17th, 1931. Services to celebrate Bonnie's life will be held at 1 p.m. on Thursday, November 12th, at Graceland Fairlawn Funeral Home. Visitation will be held from 4 to 6 p.m. on Wednesday evening at the funeral home. Interment will be in North Fork Cemetery. Memorials are suggested to the Scoville Zoo. And there is a live stream for the service. The link is really, really long. But I believe going to GracelandFairlawn.com would give the link as well. Decatur, William E. Dondeville, Jr., 83, of Decatur, passed away November 6th at Decatur Memorial Hospital. William was born February 4th, 1937. He was a veteran of the U.S. Army. Funeral service will be 11 a.m. Thursday, November 12th, 2020, at Graceland Fairlawn Funeral Home. Visitation will be from 10 to 11 a.m. Thursday at the funeral home. Burial will be at Fairlawn Cemetery. Memorials, Pilgrim Lutheran Church, and Alzheimer's Association. William's family would like to thank the entire staff of Lincolnshire Memory Care for their loving care of William and the staff and medical team of Decatur Memorial Hospital. Condolences may be left to William's family at GracelandFairlawn.com, and the services will be broadcast at FuneralView.com, and Funeral View is spelled FUNERALVUE.com/login/event/#40252. And funerals today. Shirley Ruth Johnson, 90, Decatur, noon at Graceland Fairlawn Funeral Home. Service video streamed at funeralview.com/login/events/#40007. And we move on to the sports section, page B1. Illini open season ranked 8th. Joey Wagner, Champaign. Io Dosunmu and Kofi Coburn each made waves in the summer when they announced they were withdrawing from the NBA draft and returning to the Illinois men's basketball team. Dosunmu announced first, and less than 24 hours later, Coburn made the same announcement. It immediately raised expectations to the stratosphere in Champaign. The Illini and head coach Brad Underwood's fourth season in charge opened the year ranked 8th in the Associated Press Top 25 preseason poll. This is the first time Illinois has been in the top 10 since 2012, and the first time the Illini have been in the preseason top 10 since 2004. In fact, this is the first time since 2010 the Illini have even been ranked in the AP preseason poll since. The only Big Ten teams ranked ahead of Illinois are Wisconsin number 7 and Iowa number 5. Gonzaga is ranked number 1 overall. Also on Monday, both Dosunmu and Coburn were named preseason All-Big Ten by the media. Illinois was one of two programs in the conference with two players apiece on the 10-player panel. Iowa was the other. Dosunmu was a unanimous selection along with Iowa's Luka Garza, who was selected as the preseason Big Ten Player of the Year. Dosunmu and Coburn aren't the only Illini. Dosunmu and Coburn aren't the only reason Illinois has highest expectations since the 2005 Final Four team. Trent Frazier, Georgie Bajanashvili, and Demonte Williams each return. Transfers Jacob Grandison and Austin Hutcherson are eligible after sitting out per NCAA transfer rules, and once again, Underwood and company have a talented recruiting class. Four-star guards who were each ranked in the top 50 nationally, Adam Miller and Andre Curbelo, are on the team along with three-star forward Coleman Hawkins. In other words, there's depth and talent on the team. The program is getting to where Underwood wants it to be, but he's been steadfast in public about avoiding the national rankings. Now you've got to go from the hunted to the hunter and understand the bullseye is on your back, and you've got to handle that, Underwood said last month. The first part of that starts with distractions away from the court and listening to all the stuff that you guys talk about. That's for everybody else. Our objective is to never watch the rankings, never talk about the rankings. That's for everybody else. Last year, Dosunmu was a first-team All-Big Ten selection after he averaged 16.6 points, 4.3 rebounds, 3.3 assists, and 0.8 steals. He shot 48% and came through in the clutch in multiple Illini wins and likely would have excelled in the Big Ten and NCAA tournaments had the global pandemic not stopped sports. He is on the Bob Cousy Award watch list for the second straight year, a first-team All-America pick by CBS Sports, and ranked as the nation's number 2 returning player by college basketball reporter Andy Katz. Coburn is the reigning Big Ten Freshman of the Year after averaging 13.3 points and 8.8 rebounds as a freshman last season to go with 44 blocks. His presence in the middle allowed Underwood to reshape his defense and have Dosunmu and other guards a big target for lob passes in the post. He's on the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar Award watch list and the number 10 returning player by Cats. The season can begin on November 25th, and it's reported that Illinois will host a multi-team event at the State Farm Center on November 25th through 27th. The reported teams playing in that event are Ohio, North Carolina, A&T, and Wright State. The schedule has not yet been released, other than a December 8th game against number 9 Duke at Cameron Indoor Stadium. Illinois has also been reported to be playing number 2 Baylor on December 2nd in Indianapolis, though that has not been confirmed by the program. Sidebar, preseason All-Big Ten, Kofi Coburn, Illinois, Io Dosunmu, Illinois, unanimous, Tracy Jackson Davis, Indiana, Luka Garza, Iowa, unanimous, Joe Wieskamp, Iowa, Aaron Henry, Michigan State, Marcus Carr, Minnesota, Trevion Williams, Purdue, Geo Baker, Rutgers, Nate Roivers, Wisconsin. Well, from Illinois basketball to Illinois football, Illini not panicking despite 0-3 start, Smith still confident, Joey Wagner, Champagne. 3 weeks ago has a funny way of feeling like forever ago. Way back then, in the months and days leading up to the October 23rd pandemic-delayed season opener for the Illinois football team against Wisconsin, optimism was high and hope was flowing. There was a level of confidence coming out of Champaign about this season's Illini. It all seemed so justified. Senior-led team, returning quarterback, game experience, and influx of transfers. Head coach Lovie Smith and the players sold the optimism, which was easy to buy. 3 weeks later, then that win seems to be taken out of the sails for the fan base, capped off by Saturday's 41-14 clobbering at the hands of Minnesota to drop Illinois to 0-3. The Illini are 7-point underdogs for their 11 a.m. game at Rutgers on Saturday. For context, this is the first time since 2014 that Rutgers has been favored in a Big Ten game, and the second time ever, according to onthebanks.com. The Scarlet Knights 1-2 haven't been favored in any single game since opening the 2019 season opener against Massachusetts. Illinois' defense, particularly against the pass, has played poorly, ranking last in the Big Ten in scoring defense, 39 points, second worst in total defense, 475.7 yards per game, 12th in rushing defense, 197.3 yards per game, and 11th in passing defense, 278.3 yards per game. Those results come with head coach Lovie Smith, who is also the team's defensive coordinator in his fifth season with a roster he recruited and developed. The offense has also struggled in the first three games, and the Illini have trailed by at least 21 points in all three games, twice at halftime, Wisconsin and Minnesota, and once in the third quarter, Purdue. The thing with Smith, though, is he isn't panicking. Agree or disagree with his methods, that's not who Smith is as a coach. He admits the team hasn't played as well as he had hoped or expected, but don't plan on seeing him sounding the alarms three games into a nine-game season. We react to anything bad that we feel like we need to change, Smith said on Monday. We immediately react to it, try to get a plan for that, and that's what we're doing right now. We've evaluated the video, things I feel like we need to adjust, change. We're going to do that. There's no panic. We're disappointed in three games we've played, and we need to play better this fourth game of the football season. There's a lot of football left to go. Illinois has been without starting quarterback Brandon Peters, COVID-19 positive, and backups Isaiah Williams, contact tracing, and Matt Robinson, injury. Starting center Doug Kramer Jr. is out due to contact tracing. Defensive end Keith Randolph Jr. is out due to contact tracing. Illinois was missing two of its top three corners, Nate Hobbs' shoulder and Marquez Beeson, wore a walking boot against Minnesota, causing a massive reshuffling of the secondary. The players who were out because of contact tracing are eligible to return this week. Peters can return next week against Nebraska per Big Ten protocols and will travel with the team to Rutgers to be on the sideline, according to a team spokesperson. Smith doesn't update on injuries provided they aren't season-ending, so the status of Hobbs and Beeson remain unclear. Nobody wants to hear about who we don't have or anything like that, Smith said. We expect to play better, and we need to play better. I expect our record to say that. We're going to play better when we have our best guys on the football field. This is kind of the reality of what's happened with us. I think when we get our guys together, you're going to see a different ball club there. In the past, three disappointing losses, we expect them to play a lot better this week. It's as simple as that, said senior offensive lineman Alex Pelzewski. It doesn't matter who's playing, it's the next man up. That's one of the things we try to focus on every single practice, is you never know when the guy in front of you is going to go down. It's practicing every week like you're going to be playing. Illinois started 2-4 last season, including a miserable home loss to Eastern Michigan by way of a game-winning field goal, and blew a 14-point lead to Nebraska the following week. The ability to turn it around certainly exists, but time is running short in a shortened season. The defense, which hasn't been nearly as impacted by COVID or contact tracing protocols, missed gaps and tackles against Minnesota on Saturday. The offense, with fourth string quarterback Corin Taylor couldn't get much moving. Smith indicated changes would be coming this week, and the team will get those players out for contact tracing back on Wednesday. Smith has altered this week's schedule accordingly. "We haven't played to the full ability that we can," Pelszewski said. "We're a much better team than we're showing on the field. We know we have to keep practicing and working hard. We know we are that team that came back down 28-3 that beat Wisconsin last year. We have to keep on working hard and play that way that we are supposed to play. Perhaps more concerning than the blown coverages or inept at times offense were the penalties against the Golden Gophers. 12 of them for 120 yards. Illinois committed a variety. Targeting, holding, illegal man downfield, pass interference, false start, delay of game. They stalled drives and in some instances gave Minnesota free yards in others. We haven't played to the full ability that we can," Pelszewski said. "We're a much better team than we're showing on the field. We know we have to keep practicing and working hard. We know we are that team that came back down 28-3 that beat Wisconsin last year. We have to keep on working hard and play the way we are supposed to play." And a photo that accompanies this: Minnesota running back Muhammad Ibrahim, 24, carries the ball as Illinois defensive player, defensive back Sidney Brown tries to bring him down. Bloomington star transfers to Indiana school. Randy Reinhardt, Bloomington. "Like any parents of athletes, Tim and Angie Moore want their children to have the opportunity to play sports they love. The COVID-19 pandemic has brought both change and challenges to the Moore family in that regard. While Griffin Moore, a redshirt freshman tight end at the University of Illinois, has been sidelined after testing positive for the virus, younger brother Landon Moore has transferred from Bloomington High School to Brownsburg, Indiana, with the hope of playing basketball his senior year. Landon enrolled at Brownsburg last week," said Tim Moore, the BHS principal. "The plan for him is to go to school there, and hopefully it works out from an eligibility standpoint. The Indiana High School Athletic Association will have to approve Moore's transfer." Before he's allowed to play for Brownsburg, Angie Moore has moved to Indiana with Landon. "High school basketball is on hold in Illinois after Governor J.B. Pritzker recently stated the season should be delayed until spring. And while the Illinois High School Association has said it will go forward with the season, many schools, school districts throughout the state have announced they will abide by the wishes of Pritzker and the Illinois Department of Public Health. A 6'1" guard, Landon Moore, was a Pantograph All-Area selection and a first-team All-Big 12 conference choice last season after averaging 18.0 points, 5 rebounds, and 5 assists for the Purple Raiders. He hit 61 three-pointers. "Whatever we decided to do as a family was not an easy decision," Tim Moore said. "We want to do what we can to give him the opportunity to play. That's a thing any family would do. Bloomington has not announced its intentions for basketball season. I don't see us having a season in Illinois for the foreseeable future," said the elder Moore, who also serves as secretary of the IHSA Board of Directors. "I don't anticipate very many schools playing basketball at the start of next week. Practice begins Monday for schools participating. If Bloomington is going to play basketball, it's a matter of who they are going to play against, who could be available in your COVID region. Even if we have a season later in the spring, they have to have approval from the health department, and that's in the governor's office. It's definitely not an easy situation to work through." Tim Moore said Landon has aspirations of playing college basketball, but was unable to play in front of college coaches this summer when his travel team, the Illinois Wolves, canceled their schedule because of the pandemic. Landon's mental outlook has improved throughout full in-person classes in Brownsburg, which is located just west of Indianapolis, and the hope of playing basketball, according to his father. "I've seen a big change in him," Tim said. "He's looking at it as a fresh start." Also trending more optimistic is Griffin Moore. "He's doing much better. He actually got out of isolation Sunday and was able to go back to his apartment. He's got another 11 days to get cleared before he can start practicing. The Illinois football team isolates its players who test positive in a hotel. That was the toughest part, being in a hotel room by yourself and not being able to see anyone," Tim said. "He had a couple days. He didn't feel the best, but luckily it didn't last too long. He had some of the typical symptoms, cough, lost his sense of taste and smell, but he's definitely doing better. Griffin will have to be medically cleared before returning to football. I'm glad to hear they are taking their time so he fully recovers before he starts practice, said his father. Hall commits to Indiana State. ALAH takes second at cross-country championships. Matthew Flayton, Chillicothe. Before Arthur Levington, Atwood Hammond runner Leighton Hall was going to compete on Friday as a member of the Four City Striders cross-country club at the cross-country championships presented by Shazam, he wanted to get one thing out of the way, his college choice. The senior, who was a Class 1A regional and sectional champion this season, verbally committed to run for Indiana State next fall on Thursday, the day before the cross-country championships. I really like their coaching staff, and they have put a really great team together, Hall said. They're really friendly, and I wanted to be a part of that. I got to visit them on a junior day last year, and I'm definitely glad that I've committed, and that part of it is over. There's definitely a weight lifted off my shoulders, and I don't have to worry about it anymore. The following day, Hall finished fifth overall, 15:58, at the cross-country championships, the unsanctioned alternative state tournament run at Three Sisters Park in Chillicothe, with the IHSA season ending at the sectional level of the playoffs. Shazam Racing and AthleticNet put together the meet. High school-aged cross-country clubs that were separate from their high school affiliations could apply to participate. Other top local finishers in the Division I girls race, Mabry Brune from the Sages Cross Country Club Monticello finished third with a time of 18:21. Teammate Estella Miller finished at 19:27 for 12th place. Gabrielle Spain from the Soul Sisters TC Shelbyville finished 18th with a time of 20:03. Division II, Kylie Hack from the Lady Wave Runners. Mattoon was 20th overall with a time of 19:44. Chris Cherry from the Taylorville Club. Taylorville was 24th overall with a time of 16:46 on the boys' side. And we wrap up with the WCI four-day forecast. Today, 75, mostly cloudy. Evening storms, wind south 20 to 40. Tonight, 37, mostly cloudy, showers, wind northwest 20 to 40. Wednesday, high of 53, low of 36, partly cloudy. Wind northwest 5 to 15. Thursday, high of 57, low of 37, sunny skies. Wind southeast 5 to 10. Friday, high of 51, low of 38, mostly sunny, northwest winds 5 to 15. And the regional outlook, Tuesday will be the last of the warm days in the 70s due to a cold front coming through Tuesday afternoon. Winds will be strong with a chance of storms. It will cool off starting Wednesday. Well, looks like fall is here. That brings us to the end of the second half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review for Tuesday, November 10th, 2020. I've enjoyed our time together. I hope you have as well. And until we can read together next time, be well, stay safe, and take care. This is Atta Durakan signing off for the Decatur Herald and Review.